The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Tanya Kaharski from Washington, New Jersey, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 438 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner-McLean. And we are talking with Mr. Tom Kreider, who recently gave us a review of the inaugural daytime Wine and Dine race weekend. And now we're going to join Tom again, and we're going to start off talking about the 2016 Avengers race weekend out in Disneyland and California Adventure. So here we go. First thing I want to comment before we even get into it, Tom, is that I did take note that there were approximately 3,000 fewer runners for the Avengers Half Marathon than there were last year. So my question to you is that did you notice a reduction in the field when you did the Half Marathon?
Yes, absolutely. The course, after the first 4 or 5 minutes, literally after the first half mile, the course thinned out immediately. And usually it takes a lot longer. You have to get through the parks before it thins out, but that was not the case.
Wow. It was thin in the parks, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And they, because they still had, I think they still had through I, they might've had J as well. But I know that there were a lot of people behind me, and, so they still had corrals and they were still waiting several minutes in between each corral. So it's like they had enough corrals for a full load, but they didn't have a full load of people.
Wow.
In fact, you know, they had the race on sale. They were offering discounts at the expo in case someone had not signed up for the half, for example.
Wow. I wonder why it went down. Well, is it just people getting bored by it?
You know what I think, Chris? I think one of the reasons might have been, and I thought about this when I saw the reduction in numbers. I think a lot of people are not able to do both. So when you have a race that's 1 or 2 weeks away from the other, and one of them is an inaugural race, that magical word inaugural will draw a lot of people away from something that's the same one. So what people probably did is they made a choice. Michelle?
So this is, I was saving this for a question show, but I did want to mention, this is a good time to bring this up, that our buddy Mark Brinkerhoff sent us a note saying, Mike, Michelle, and Chris, this year I participated in my third Avengers race weekend, and this one had a different vibe. There were still lines on Friday for merchandise. The half marathon did not feel full. The corrals were less congested. The course in the parks was not as packed, and the tight corridors, and the last 1/10 of a mile of the course was sparse with spectators. A review of the participant results showed this comparison. Finishers of the 2016 Anaheim races: Star Wars, light side, 11,612, Tinkerbell, 11,406, the Disneyland half, 13,084. You guys ready for this? The Avengers, 7,735. So he's wondering why the loss in runners for this particular race. I selfishly prefer the smaller races, but a 4,000 participant drop at $200 a person is a health drop in revenue for Run Disney. Thank you so much, Mark, for sending that.
And thank you, Mark. And what Mark is saying, you know, he's saying 4,000 times 200 is $8,000?
No. A lot more than that.
It's 80,000? I believe
200 is $800,000.
$800,000. Yeah. Now we need to take that and say, guess what? How many of those 4,000 would have stayed on the property? How many of those 4,000 would have bought some merchandise at the expo? How many of those 4,000 would have bought admission and food? So that 800,000 is just the tip of the iceberg. So thank you, Mark, for pointing that out. So, Tom, my question would be, did you notice a difference in the expo? I always find the expos in Anaheim much more packed than the expos in Florida.
Yeah, so I actually had to go to the expo twice. I did not get there at opening on Thursday. I only landed at noon, so I got there around 3 o'clock. But at 3 o'clock, it was not empty, but certainly easy, casual browsing through the Run Disney merchandise. And they had magnets. They had car stickers. They had jackets and hats and tons of shirts. Wow. So there was plenty of merchandise there. Usually the magnets are gone, like within a few hours, or the pins, especially the pins are gone very fast. And they were there, race specific. Now they did have something interesting happen. This was back at Walt Disney World. I forgot to mention, but they misspelled inaugural, and they had to pull a bunch of the merchandise because inaugural was misspelled.
Wow.
And that wasn't the first time.
On more than one item?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No spell checking, huh?
Yeah. I think they used the same template for, like, everything. And I'm not sure if it was every piece of inaugural equipment, but a lot of it got pulled. Wow. Anyway.
They lost a lot of money that day.
Wow. Well, yeah. Luckily, they didn't misspell it on the medal.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Although I haven't checked yet. But, but yeah, so anyway, at Disneyland, there were zero lines at any of the bib pickups. But again, I only got there at 3 PM. I did have to go back the following day because I actually did go back to pick up a specific piece of merchandise, which was there. And also it was just – now that would have been Friday and after the 5K, and but still before the challenge and the half and the 10K. And plenty of merchandise, no lines anywhere. Just walk in, pick what you want, walk to a cashier and walk out. It was very, very easy flow. And it could be because there just wasn't the number of runners there.
Wow.
And it's the Avengers, man. Come on. Yeah, my home team.
And you know, on course, as far as lines go, the only character that had more than a 2 or 3 minute wait was Doctor Strange. And he had
new guy.
Yeah, he had a normal size line, but everybody else, you know, Hawkeye, Black Widow, the guy with the hammer.
Thor. Even I know that.
Yeah.
Building the construction site on the side of the road there.
Yeah, very short lines.
Chris Hemsworth, right?
Yeah.
Not exactly. Yeah. The line would have been longer if it was him.
Yeah, I was his stunt double in the second movie. But anyway, yeah, very short lines.
Got the body for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
So, Tom, when you ran the... So did you do all three races?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start with the 5K. Was the 5K, and forgive me if you just mentioned it, I don't recall if you mentioned, how were the character photo opportunities for the 5K?
Well, let me do the all three at the same time because they were the exact same characters in all three. And the superhero characters. You know, they did not have... extra characters. They did not have any of the Fab Five dressed up like superheroes. They did not have as many character stops as there were at Walt Disney World, there were as few character stops in Disneyland. It's just they really kept the theming on point, but they didn't, you know, I think they could have melded, you know, mashed theming a little bit, but they didn't. They were strictly the the Marvel characters in perfect characters. They looked like the actors. They're no actors, right? They're real.
Mm-hmm.
But they were no additional outside of that.
So it was the typical, it was like Captain America, Thor,
yep,
Hawkeye, the main Avengers cast. Because if you think about it, they had the Captain America Civil War movie came out, and technically all of those guys are Avengers, so they could have had Ant-Man, they could have had Vision, yeah, they could have had Scarlet Witch, they could have had any of the number of other characters in there.
Well, they did have Spider-Man.
They did.
as you left Disneyland and were headed towards downtown Disney, Spider-Man was above the, you know where the train station is up above as mm-hmm. you walk under and you leave? So we exited on the right as you're looking towards the exit, and Spider-Man was above that at the train station. And, you know, we got a chance to shoot webs back and forth. But, yeah, so Spider-Man was there.
They did have Ant-Man, Chris, but there was an unfortunate accident with the runners.
Yeah, one of the
two sides. He was too slow? You couldn't see him?
Yeah, they all ran over him.
See, I always knew that Spider-Man was on the web.
Somebody take his microphone away.
You know, one of the things that I don't think a lot of runners realize is that although it's run Disney, there is a West Coast and an East Coast sort of a second tier organization, and they don't necessarily the races on both coasts don't necessarily emanate from one group. It's one group for the West Coast and it's one group for the East Coast, and I think that's why, Tom, we see a difference like in the number of characters for races, how it
You mean in terms of race production?
Yeah, this. I mean,
that's why Rudy is
exactly. And I didn't want to say that, but I'm glad you brought it up, Michelle. That's why Rudy is not in California, because it's the different Run Disney group of business people who
The production decided people to go are with different.
Something other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
How about the 10K, Tom? What can you say about the 10K?
Well, it was. Again, mostly in the parks. They do a super job at Disneyland of getting you in the parks, I think, as much as physically possible. I'm going to say that half of that 10K was in the parks. Now, a lot of that's backstage, but still, we ran south. We ran out around the convention center right there, and then after 2, maybe 2.5 miles at most, we were in the parks. And so the last, let's say, 3.5 to 4 miles was in the parks, downtown Disney, and then, you know, out back in the Disneyland parking lot, Disneyland Hotel parking lot. And so great job. Just about as much park time as I think you can get out of a 10K. And, it was good. Well supported. The cast members were out. Tons and tons of cast members, and I love giving high fives to the third shift, because I figure they've been out there all night. They probably might have even their shift might have ended, but they're still out there. And you know how they have the signs out there that are up on the forklifts, third shift custodial welcomes all the runners, things like that. And they really seem to be into it. And no one just was standing around. They were all either, I think they handed out maybe 1,000 cowbells because everybody seemed to have a cowbell this year to the cast members.
Need more cowbells.
I got a FIBA. And it was really great. So 10K was spot on. Again, this exact same characters, but other than character redundancy, I think it was very well done.
It gives you a chance to actually stop and get to have pictures with a lot of them, then, if it's the exact same ones. So it just occurred to me that it's still downtown Disney in Disneyland. It's not Disney Springs.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I did hear some people complaining. They only had 2 official water stops for the 10K. One was at like mile 2.5, and the other one was at maybe 4.5. But the brochure said, please take advantage of all the water fountains available within the park. So that was, I think, the justification for only having 2. And it seems like everybody knows where the good bathrooms are at Disneyland. So, and the water fountains and whatnot. Hmm. But they did only have 2, whereas I think in Disney World, they probably have at least 3 water stops for a 10K.
I'm trying to think where the water stops are on the 10Ks. And usually the water stops are off stage. The one exception is when you do the 5K in January. I think there's a water stop in China, which is on stage, but other than that, I believe the water stops are off stage. So
But that's the only thing I heard, the only complaint, because again, I think the 5K and the 10K were extremely well done out in Disneyland.
Do you get to run by World of Color for the 10K? I can't remember. I know you do for the half.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
It was not quite as dark, but, you know, because it was a little bit later in the course. But, you know, because the 5K, of course, all of that is within the parks, except for the first maybe quarter mile. But for the 10K, you know, it was a little bit lighter, but still not bright yet. The sun actually only came up. I guess the sunrise was around 7:30 that day. So, you know, you really got a lot of the lights in the haze or the dawn, I guess. So it looked really pretty.
Okay, so
what about the expo?
Yeah,
how was that?
The expo was in full daylight. Yeah, like I said, easy in, easy out. They had speakers. They had it seems like plenty of vendors. But not crowded at all.
That's awesome.
And the merchandise seemed to be around. At least I was there Friday afternoon, and there was still, you know, that was after the 5K running, and still plenty of merchandise. I went there twice, and each time, no problems whatsoever.
Wow. That lesser crowd really made it a difference, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was obvious. It was obvious standing in the corrals. It was obvious running the course, even through the parks. You know, in Disneyland, sometimes it gets tight. It really was totally fine the whole way.
Yeah, that seems to be what Mark was saying too. So, did it take its toll on you to do these two races so close to each other in any way, in terms of being exhausted or?
Yeah, you really got to run hard to get exhausted. So that sort of leaves me out.
But the traveling, I mean, and the time difference, and
yeah, the time. I got to be honest, the time difference does bother me. In that I don't ever quite seem to get over it till I get home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was even out there for, I think it was 6 days in May, not race-related, and it wasn't until the fourth or fifth day that I started getting used to it, and then, of course, I come home. But it's great for waking up early, you know, because when I have to get up at – you only have to get up like an hour or so before the race in Disneyland because it's just right down the street.
Right.
But – when you get up at 4 a.m., you know, it feels like 7 a.m.,
right.
So it's nice and easy.
Right, right. I think that's when I saw you in May, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're still out of stock, from what I understand, of Conundrum. But anyway.
It's a type of wine.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. So, yeah, it's I got to tell you, even with the time difference, I think I like Disneyland races more.
Hmm. Why is that?
So, Mike, to your question, if I had to choose to go or not, I think if I had to choose between Disneyland and Disney World, I think I'd take Disneyland because they are smaller, because to get up for the race feels like you're getting up normal time or maybe even sleeping in a little bit. Never have a problem getting up for the race. I love the fact that from the time I walk out of my hotel, whether it's on-site or not, I'm not more than 15, 20 minutes away from the race start line. The fact that you can be in the runner area up until 5 minutes before the race start, unless you're in Corral A, which, you know, that leaves me out too. But, you know, there's just no rush. Everything seems easy. It's close. It feels like a local race. If you forget about the 5-hour flight, it feels like a local race. You know, so I really do. I am attached, I think, more to my Disneyland races than I am Disney World.
And with all due respect to Walt Disney World, I don't think anybody does Christmas better than Disneyland in California.
Oh, yeah.
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 So,
yeah.
Wanted to ask. Go ahead, Tom.
It is nice. I'm just saying it is nice. Very well decorated.
I wanted to ask you, how was the portion of the half marathon along the marathon along the Santa Ana Trail? How was that compared to?
No trail.
No trail.
No trail. They changed the course a little bit, so we still went out. We did through Angel Stadium. We did a lot more on Angel Stadium property. We ran around the entire outskirts within the fence, but you know the parking lots that surround the stadium?
Yes.
We ran the full 360 degrees around the outer edge of those parking lots.
Wow, nothing says fun like running around a parking lot. That's what I always say.
It was decimating. So... Let me just say
was there cosplay around there?
Yes, on the shaded side.
Okay.
So they brought you in the main gate. I thought, wow, we're running right down in Angel Stadium. This is great. And then we turned right. And then we looked ahead, and we saw runners way out in front of us. And then we started going around the building, and again, way out in front of us. I bet you we spent 2 miles, somehow, at least 1.75 miles in that parking lot and in the stadium.
Wow.
Be like between 7.5 and 9.5. So no trail, no sand in your shoe. You got a little bit of the warning track rubber in your shoe, but no sand from the trail in your shoe, no running down into the trail area. So, you know, that was a little bit different. So it was, you know, out and back. And then when we came back, we were in the park, you know, in the backstage area of the park for the last, let's say, 1.25 miles.
Well, you know, you're going to give props to Run Disney for shaking it up a little bit and changing the course. I think I would really enjoy going to a Run Disney race weekend if I knew that one or two of the races would have a different twist and turn to the course, a different wrinkle. I think that would make it more interesting. So that must
not
have been
a parking lot, though.
No, not a parking lot, yeah. But yeah, that kind
of. So
I'll bet
on
that
the back
would change.
Half of the. On the back half of the parking lot, they did have the World War I, World War II impersonators, cosplayers. You know, everyone dressed in the uniform, military uniforms. They had military cars. They had swing dance group there. You know, and they pulled runners in occasionally. You know, those that looked like they were still upright, and you know, because this was 9 miles, and so that was very entertaining. They did have. Two marching bands, you know, like dueling marching bands in the outfield when we were inside.
Yeah.
But I looked up and the stands were empty.
Aww.
And I could have sworn before they had like scout groups and they had other people in the
yes.
stands.
Yes.
But
yes.
These stands were empty, which was odd. I felt odd. But the two marching bands were there and they had a sports announcer there who was getting a feed like Rudy and Chris to do at the finish and John. And he was getting a feed, and he would announce the runners as they would come into the stadium. And it would go out over the PA system, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember when we ran in – were you there in January, Tom, when we ran – was it the light side?
Dark side.
The dark
side. Light side.
It was the
yeah,
light side. I do remember running through the stadium, and I remember seeing – I remember actually seeing people I knew in the stands yelling out to me and everything. So, yeah, this sounds so much different, and I wonder why, but...
Yeah, and it could be I was just, you know, semi-conscious by that point and maybe just didn't see them.
Yeah.
Because I do remember at the expo, there were signs for shuttles to take people over to the stadium. At times, you're supposed to report here, you know, various times to catch a shuttle to go over there. But maybe because I was, you know, at that point, you know, in like the last third of the race, maybe folks had already left. I don't know, but I just didn't seem to remember there being people in the stadium.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Well, it sounds like there's this change in the wind for a lot of these Disney races. It seems like we're seeing some changes here and there. I do want to ask one question, Tom. Which of the one of those two races? I want to say it was Avengers. Was it at the end of Avengers that you had an opportunity, or the runners had an opportunity to enjoy some chocolate milk?
Yeah, they did
the
have
chocolate.
They
he's
did.
Obsessed.
Nesquik had like a booth at the. It could have been after the race, but I saw them at the expo. They were handing out chocolate milk at the expo.
It was because I think our friend Robert Sparks posted a picture for you, Mike.
Oh, I didn't.
With the chocolate milk. Yeah.
Yeah, they had those big milk coolers. Those they look like ice chests, except they're refrigerators. And they were handing out chocolate milk. I remember that at the expo.
Mike.
I did not see that after the race, but I saw it at the expo.
You could run back to the expo.
Heaven, Mike.
That's my goal, yep. To have them do that, to offer chocolate milk at the end of a race.
Wow.
Anyways. Well, Tom, thank you for a duo report, a double duty report. Before I sign off, I just wanted to give Chris and Michelle, you have anything else you'd like to ask Tom before we sign off?
I'm just curious where you stayed, Tom.
I am a stickler for staying at the exact same place all the time. So you'll always find me at the Best Western Stovall, and it's at the corner of Catella and oh gee whiz, some other road. But
I would hope
so. It is the closest off-site property, Good Neighbor Hotel, to the race start line.
I know what that is, Tom.
Yeah,
I know what that is. Yeah, because you're right across. You're practically right across.
The Ferris wheel's right there. The parking lot for Disneyland Hotel is immediately. Paradise Pier is immediately across the street. You're literally staying 50 feet from Disney property. So when it's not a race weekend, though, then I'll either stay, like at the Candy Cane or some other place. But for race weekends, it's always the exact same place, and that's because of the proximity to the start line.
Hmm. Smart. Yeah.
Well, that's so much better than the other one.
I can only afford to stay on property when I bring my family. When it's just me, I'm off property.
And you're doing every single race.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Chris, did you have anything to want to...
My question was just, of these two, are either of them in your top five of the Disney races?
Good question.
Yeah, I really like Avengers. I have had good experiences out there, but they're within my top five for sure. I think the Star Wars races are one and two because of the theme. Right. And with the Disneyland being number, I think the number one race for me is the Disneyland Star Wars light side, because the half marathon course goes south, and you go through the community of Garden Grove, and it's all residential area primarily, and the support is amazing, and the cosplayers are amazing. Mm. I think that's my favorite weekend now.
That's a good question. What about you,
Thanks,
Michelle?
Mike.
You're welcome, Chris. What about you, Michelle? Would it be in your top five?
Sounds like a whole nother...
Yeah.
Maybe Avengers? I think it would be.
Why?
I love Disneyland. It's my birthday weekend, which is a fun reason.
Intent, yeah.
No. It's just that it's fun to get away and do a Disney park on your birthday weekend. I'm not a huge, unlike some people on this podcast, I'm not a huge... Marvel comic book fan, but I
good night, everybody.
Really
do. You just lost your show. Goodbye.
I really do enjoy it. I think it would be in my top five.
Chris, you've never done Avengers, or you have?
I've not done it. What I'm actually looking forward to is, my wife has sort of thrown down the gauntlet and said, the kids go off to college next September, and we're looking to do the Dopey in January. But she was like, you know what? We could possibly do a coast to coast if you're considering doing something out there. We might do Avengers or Lightside. So I might be doing some more West Coast runs in the near future. So I'm actually looking forward to the Avengers or the Lightside. They both sound right up my alley. So it's something I'm looking forward to based on recommendations today. It sounds like it's a really good one.
Mike?
I think Avengers is in my top, maybe my top one. Mm-hmm. And it's because not necessarily because of the theme, not necessarily because of the race, it's because it's out in California during the early Christmas season, and I get to see Disneyland, and I get to see California Adventure and all of its Disney magnificence. Mm-hmm. And I know that I said this earlier at the show, and I just was blown away when I did Avengers the first time, and I was able to really, really experience what a Disney theme park Christmas is all about. And again, nothing to say against Walt Disney World, but you had your choice. You had your chance, Walt Disney World, and you've been blowing it for the past five or 10 years.
When you stand in line three times in a row to see Small World,
for about an hour and a half.
There's a difference.
And 10 years ago, I would not have said this probably. I would have said Disney World, hands down, but... because of certain things that they've done, they are now number two. So I think that's one of the reasons why. Yeah, and that's why Avengers is probably number one, Well, Tom, thank you very much for that very detailed report. I know that it's been a few weeks, and I really, Michelle and Chris and I really appreciate you coming on to tell us all about your experience and to let our listeners know who did not have an opportunity to go to either one of these races, learn about what they're all about. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
So for Tom Kreider, for Chris Aliopoulos, for Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.